Well, we've already done everything we need to do, so are you ready for the Word tonight?
Yes.
I mean, praise God, you know, it's up to you if you get anything. I mean, I just think on a 40-degree night in November when it's dark outside, if you're going to make the effort to come here, you might as well walk out of here blessed.
Amen.
Amen. And how many of you know, it doesn't have anything to do with God. He's already provided it. It has nothing to do with your pastor. I'm ready to go. I've got something on my heart. I'm just going to do my thing. It's up to you if you get anything.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Isn't it amazing? Lord, help me with this a while ago, you know, because you just want everybody to get helped. You want everybody to be blessed. But isn't it amazing that Jesus, there were people that were so blessed, their lives were so changed by Him, and yet there were other people that heard the exact same thing that Jesus said and did, and they didn't benefit at all. Well, that wasn't Jesus' fault. It was up to the people, the hearer of the Word. Amen. Hallelujah. So I know you're ready. Let's pray. Father, we thank You. We are ready to receive our blessing tonight. We are ready to hear from heaven. Lord, I consider it such an honor to be able to preach Your Word to such wonderful, wonderful people. Father, people that You love and died for, gave Your Son for. And so, Lord, it's such a humbling thing. And Father, it's my heart as their shepherd to make sure they walk out of here full. So, Lord, speak through me because I can't do it on my own. I wouldn't even know what to do or say. So, Father, we thank You for words from heaven tonight. We thank You for boldness and utterance from the Holy Ghost. Father, we thank You that what needs to be said will be said. What needs to be done will be done. And we thank You lives will be changed. Destinies will be overturned. And, Father, we thank You. We declare by faith this area will never be the same. And we give You the praise. We give You the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Go to John chapter 2. This just came up into my spirit. Now, I'm preaching to the quiet because you're choir, not the quiet. Don't be the quiet tonight. We don't want the quiet. I'm preaching to the choir here because you're here. But you know, the local church is a place where we come together for twofold. To get fed, but also to be strengthened to go out and do something. And I'm amazed at people that separate themselves from the local church and they talk about how blessed they are and this and that. And I think, what are you doing for Jesus? What are you being built up on? What covering do you have? And, you know, you're all here tonight and this is a strengthening type service. We're in the gym tonight, the spiritual gym tonight, getting things worked in us and worked out of us and to be blessed because there's a hurting world out there that needs us. Amen. So I just really appreciate your faithfulness on a Wednesday night to be so hungry to come out and get extra from Him. Well, let's see what He wants to say tonight. John 2 and verse 23 says this. It says, "Now when He was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast day, many believed in His name." When? Everybody say when. We saw these scriptures last week. When they saw the miracles which He did. Hallelujah. What are they saying? A lot of people believed on Jesus. Isn't that what we want? Remember last week we talked about why we should want signs, wonders, and miracles. And we're just doing a quick review here, but we saw last week, why do we want to contend for that? Why are we hungry for that? Well, it's because the Bible says many will believe on His name when they see something. Amen? Amen. That means a group of people otherwise would not have believed in Him if they didn't see some things.
Right.
Amen. Amen. God was putting on a show back then. God still wants to put on a show.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Now go to John chapter 6 and verse 1. John chapter 6 and verse 1. We're going further tonight. Here it says, "After these things, Jesus went over to the Sea of Galilee," which is the Sea of Tiberias, "and a great multitude followed Him." Well, isn't that what we want? Cattaraugus County, Chautauqua County, there's a great multitude of people. And there's a great multitude of people that are not following Him. The thing is, we know He's the answer. We know that His going, you know, tagging behind Jesus, that's where it's at, praise the Lord. But many people don't know it. Well, the Bible says here that many followed Him because, or the reason they followed Him is because they saw the miracles, which He did. Multitudes of people, lives were changed simply because of the miracles. Acts chapter 2 and verse 22. Acts chapter 2 and verse 22. You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God. When that says approved of God, one translation says it this way. A man accredited that he was of God. Or a man proved that he was of God. But and it says here, so Jesus was proved, or it was accredited that he was of God. People could look to Jesus and say, that man's legit. That man's the real deal. Approved of God, why? By miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as yourselves know. So the Bible says that even Jesus himself would have just been another voice if it weren't for the miracles, the wonders, and signs. The Bible says that it was the miracles, the wonders, and signs that pointed people to Jesus, that people said, he's legit, he's the real deal. Amen. Acts chapter 3 and verse 1. We're not going to read the whole thing for time's sake. But it says in Acts chapter 3 and verse 1, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, which they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked alms. And Peter, fasting his eyes upon him with John, said, look at us. He gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, it's not money that I have for you right now. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand, verse 7, lifted him up. Immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, walked, entered with them into the temple, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw it. They saw him walking and praising God, verse 10. And they knew that it was the one that sat for alms. They knew it was this guy that had been sick his whole life at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them into the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered. So Peter started to preach. All the way from verse 12 down, he preaches. Now look at real quick. He says in verse 19, I want to bring something out that hit me recently that builds upon this to bring this point out. He says, repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, for times of refreshing shall come for the presence of the Lord. Well, then we drop down to chapter 4 and verse 2. It says, howbeit many of them which heard the word, heard what Peter preached, believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. So 5,000 people got born again after Peter preached, but the only reason they were an audience of Peter is because the lame man that got healed, and it brought them all together in wonder and amazement. Now, here's my point. This is dealing with, we're going to talk about you tonight. Hallelujah. Jesus, the Bible says, was proved or demonstrated to be of God only because of the signs, wonders, and miracles. Peter only had an audience that listened to him because of a miracle, sign, and a wonder. The Bible said many believed in Jesus and many followed Jesus because they saw, or when they saw, the miracle, signs, and wonders. And think about this for a second. Have you ever seen at a stadium, outside a stadium or a concert or anything, the guy with the sandwich board, you know, head goes up through it, and he's got on side, it has a verse, John 3:16 or repent or whatever, and he's got the megaphone. Repent, be converted, or you're going to go to hell. Except Jesus. How many of you know what he's saying is true?
Amen. That's right.
What he's saying is true. Remember that show I was telling you about with a woman? She was given the family that didn't believe in God the business. You know, she's telling them, you better repent. Wages of sin is death. You better accept Jesus or you're going to go to hell. Well, she's saying it's true. You know, Jesus was, you know, Peter was bold. He got right up and said, repent. Change your ways. You're doing it wrong. You know that, and that was true. Jesus didn't mince words either, did he? He talked about heaven and hell. He talked about if you don't receive him, you're going to perish. He said that he was the only way, the truth, and life. Well, the difference between the guy on the street, you see, all Jesus, all Peter, all Paul, Paul said this, he said, my faith, I want your faith to rest in the power of God, not the wisdom of man. The thing that separated, the only thing that separates Peter, Jesus, Paul, from being megaphone guy, is the signs, the wonders, and the miracles. Because without the signs and the wonders and the miracles, Jesus sounds like a crazy man. Peter sounds like a crazy man without the signs, wonders, and miracles. Because remember, Acts 2:22, don't misunderstand me now. We know that Jesus was anointed. We know that Jesus was the Son of God. Without the signs, wonders, and miracles, we believe that in our heart. We know it. But they didn't know that. They didn't know he was the Son of God and who he was. And the only thing that separated him from being that crazy guy that nobody listened to was the signs, wonders, and miracles. The only reason Peter's words had weight that day was because people saw, my goodness, something great came from this man and this man's ministry. We need to listen up. And it opened a door for Peter. And so we talked about last week why we need to crave miracle signs and wonders, because it led to 5,000 people getting born again. One miracle, one sign and one wonder led to it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Aren't you grateful? One miracle, sign, and wonder led to it. Praise the name of Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, God is still in the miracle business today. Hallelujah. Everybody say this. Say, God is still in the miracle business today. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. Praise God. He is faithful and he is good. He didn't change. The Bible didn't expire and have where it's all of a sudden, you know, the power's gone. It got shut off. No, the power's real. And we just read in the Bible that the Bible says that people are going to believe in Jesus because of the miracle signs and wonders. That's why we're contending for miracle signs and wonders around here. Because that's the only thing that's going to separate us from the Buddhist, from the Muslim. The Muslim can be very convincing and can be very passionate, very eloquent in their speaking. The Buddhist can be very passionate. The atheist can be very passionate about their... The only thing that's going to separate and get people turned on to Jesus is the power. We have three references in the Bible that said the only reason they followed him was when they saw the miracles, because of the miracles. And he was proved to be of God because of the miracles. That's why we want miracle signs and wonders. Because there's a world outside of these walls that are hurting. People walking in darkness. And just going up to them and telling them, hey, you better repent and change your ways or you're going to burn in hell. Even though that's true, that's the Bible. I ain't going to do nothing. But when Peter stood up after he got the lame man healed in Acts chapter 3 and said, repent, change, hallelujah. It had weight because of that, praise God. And we saw last week as well, the importance, go to Mark chapter 6. I'm going to keep hammering on this because you need to see it tonight. Praise God. Mark chapter 6 and verse 1. We know God has a desire to do miracle signs and wonders. We know. Remember what we said is miracle signs and wonder are the gasoline on the salvation fire. One miracle sign and wonder in Acts chapter 3 led to 5,000 people getting saved. There's nowhere in the Bible we see a greater harvest come in after one act. Amen. That salvation fire that was flowing, they just dumped a bunch of gasoline on it and it just took off. Praise God. Well, we know God's desiring it. We know Jesus desires it, but look at here again. And he went out from there and came into his own country. His disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, from where does this man have these things, and what wisdom is that which is given unto him? Even such mighty works are wrought by his hands. Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and of Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and his own house. And he could, not would, he could there do no mighty work. In that location, he could not do a mighty work. Yet, he just came from a location where a mighty work was done. Jairus' daughter raised from the dead. The woman with the issue of blood, 12 years, cured. In that location, he could do something. Why couldn't he in this location? Well, verse 6 says, he marveled because of their unbelief. Right. Do you think God changed from Mark chapter 5 to Mark chapter 6? No. Do you think Jesus changed from Mark chapter 5 to Mark chapter 6? No, but the people did. They weren't hungry in Mark chapter 6. They said, oh, he's just the carpenter. We don't believe in him. Well, what is my point? The miracle signs and wonders that God wanted to do in Mark chapter 5 were done. He wanted to do the same type of things in Mark chapter 6, and the only reason he couldn't was because of the people. Ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't matter how much God wants to do it. It doesn't matter how hungry your pastor is, how anointed your pastor is for it. If you're not on board, it won't happen. You know, go to John chapter 2 real quick. I want to show you the importance of people cooperating with miracle signs and wonders. You're important. Everybody say, I'm important. As you are, because you can just think, the Jesus tour got hindered in his own hometown because of people. Had nothing to do with him. Bible said that he couldn't. That means it was impossible for him to do a mighty work, even though he wanted it. Even though he desired it. God looks over the towns and the villages and the counties all across America. And his heart is to move on those people. For them to experience his power. Because he knows what his power can do for people. But the thing is that the power is always available. You shut the lights off in here of the switch. You know, if I go over here, is that going to turn lights off in here if I do that over here? As the sides? It doesn't mean that the electricity is not still flowing and working. It means that the switch got turned off, but the electricity is always there. But if we turn the switch on, it's the same with the power of God. It's always available. It's always ready. But if we turn the switch off, and the switch is the switch of faith, and the switch is the switch of believing and hungering, if we turn that off, it'll shut the power right off. We could turn the lights off in here and have it be dark. Oh, I wish I could see my Bible. I wish I'm bumping into things. Oh, life's so hard. I just wish somebody would do something. Go turn the switch on, dummy. Yeah. Well, I just wish that, you know, God would just do something. God said, wait, no, don't put this on me. I'm always ready. My answer is always yes. I'm always ready for the power. You need to tap into it. The oil and gas under the ground is always there. But until somebody taps into it, they don't get the benefits of it. The power of God is always, he's the same. I don't think that we fully grasp that verse, because we put so many things off onto God. Amen? Amen. Hebrews 13 and verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same. The same. The same. The same. That means, and remember what it says about God over there in James, it says, he changeth not. So we have two references. In James, it says that there's no shadow of turning. He no variableness in God. He never changes. The Bible says about Jesus, he's the same. The same when? Yesterday. That's important. Because what is yesterday? Yesterday is what we read. Those are the yesterdays. Well, what was Jesus Christ doing in the yesterdays? Miracles, signs, and wonders. Healing bodies, raising people from the dead, bringing supernatural provision. Well, the Bible says that Jesus is the same yesterday and today. You know what that verse means? November 15th. But people don't have reverence and honor and belief for that. Oh, time's gone past. Oh, Bible times. Oh, if I could have just back then. That's why it doesn't work. People's expectation is like Mark chapter 6. It's so low. Oh, if I could just get God to do something. Just get God to do something. Tap into the power and he will. He's the same miracle-working Jesus today as he was yesterday. And he will be tomorrow as well.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. But John chapter 2 says in verse 1, there was the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. This is Jesus' first miracle. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage, and when they wanted the wine, the mother of Jesus said to them, they have no wine. Jesus said to her, Woman, what do I have to do with you? My hour's not yet come. His mother said unto the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set 6 water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. Now you have to understand something. We don't have the running water in the faucets. They had to take the big pots, walk down to the well, pump the well, get the water, bring it all the way back. It was a pain.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you really, really study it out, how heavy things were and the distance that probably things were, Pastor Webb did that one time in service. It was just amazing because it's important to recognize the not only the weirdness of what Jesus said to them to get them to get to do it.
Yeah.
They needed wine. He said, go get water. Well, their mind would say, well, what the world's that got to do with anything?
Right.
But they did it. And then the inconvenience that it took to go get the water, bring it back,
right,
and actually bring the water and present it to the governor.
Yeah.
Say, this is what we got.
Amen.
To listen. Good. But my point is, and it worked, right? It worked.
Yeah.
This miracle that Jesus did had more to do with the people than it did him.
Amen.
What if they wouldn't have done it? No water into wine.
Right.
Ladies and gentlemen, you don't realize how vital you are in miracles, signs, and wonders. You are so important. It takes the people's cooperation. That's what I want to talk about more tonight. Go to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. And this is what I want you to see. We are the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. You have to understand what that means. He's the head. The head is where the headquarters are at.
Yeah.
That's where the assignments are given. That's where the brains of the operation. That's where the will of the operation. What needs to be done in the operation. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, we know what the brains of the operation wants. The brains of the operation wants the same thing that was going on back then, done today, only in a greater measure, because there's more of us. That's why Jesus said it's better that he goes away than stay, because back then you had to go to Jesus, a single location, to get to him. Now there's a bunch of Jesuses running around all over the world. We're part of him. We have the anointing, praise God.
Hallelujah.
So we're the hands and the feet. Now here's my point. I, in this church, only reaches these walls. There's the grocery store. There's your Thanksgiving table with your family. There's your place of employment. There's the places you hang out for recreation or whatever you do, your friends and things like that. We want people within the walls of church because why? What does church do? It feeds people.
Yeah.
It allows people to get strengthened. My job is to strengthen people for the work of the ministry. That's what the Bible says in Ephesians 4. Well, but to get them in here, that's the challenge, isn't it?
Yes. Amen.
But it'll be easy if you all are operating in the power and you're laying hands on people and a coworker comes up to you and has a question or, you know, the gifts of the Spirit start flowing through you, the words of knowledge, words of wisdom, prophecy, where you're speaking supernaturally under exhortation, edification, and comfort to people, and you're telling them exactly what they need to hear and speaking exactly to their life, and you don't even know what's coming out of your mouth, but it's flowing out of your mouth, and it's striking them and hitting them, and they're saying, wow, there's something different. And then a door will open to you to get them born again or to get them into church. So my point is, we need to take the miracles, signs, and wonders outside of these walls. Amen. And it's God's will for the signs to follow what you might think in your head, just simple old me. Just plain old me. I'm just a sheep. No, you're not. You're an anointed child of God who's the hands and feet. What did the hands and feet of the literal Jesus do on the earth? Miracles, signs, and wonders. Well, now we are the spiritual hands and feet. He wants to do the same exact thing, only he's going to do it through us. Because when he was on earth, the body of Jesus, his hands and feet, did the miracle signs and wonders. Now you're that.
Amen.
Amen. It's not just for inside this church. The word about Miracle Mike was not just for me. It was to get everybody on board with this. Go out into the world, into your ministry, and bring this power there. Get people changed, and then bring them back here. Get them strengthened. Praise God. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15 says this, and he said to them, go into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. Now we know he's not just talking to them, because they never made it to South Dayton. They never made it to Forestville. He said all the world. He's talking about believers. Because he goes on to say, and these signs shall follow them that believe. First verse 16 says, he that believes and baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. Verse 17, and these signs shall follow them that believe. So we know he's not just talking about the disciples right there that were right in his presence. He's talking about anybody that believes in his name.
Amen.
Well, that's us South Daytoners over here. Amen.
Yeah.
Us Cherry Creekers and Cattaraugusers and Forestvillers and all the, you know, wherever you're coming from tonight. But notice what he said. These signs. Well, what were the things? And remember, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 22, it says that Jesus was accredited to be from God because of the signs, wonders, and miracles. The signs showed that Jesus was the real deal. Well, look what it says here. These signs. What are the signs for? To prove the reality of Jesus. To validate the reality of Jesus. Shall follow them that believe. Are you them that believe? Well, guess what that means then? Signs ought to be operating in your life, not just your pastors.
Amen.
Not just in these four walls, because these four walls are confining. There's a whole world out there.
Right. Yeah.
And you say, I'll just pastor will do it. I'll never get to your Christmas dinner or your Thanksgiving dinner or your place of employment or your grocery store or your friend's house. I'll never get there, but you will.
Amen.
Amen. And so here's what I want to talk about in a little bit of time we have left tonight, is that you're anointed. You have a ministry. And when we're believing for miracles, signs, and wonders, we're not just believing for them to happen in here. We're believing that anyone associated and attached with this ministry is going to see them in their life. But if you don't know that you're capable and equipped and that the power that works towards you in your life, you will go out there and you won't do them. You'll say, well, that's for someone else or that's for my pastor. No, we're trying to raise the level of expectation of what you have in your life, what you're carrying around.
Right.
Many Christians have no idea what they're carrying around. Why? They think they're the weasels and the scum of the earth, you know, just grabbing on just to get by until Jesus comes back. My life's so hard. I'm the weasel of the earth. Just the devil's after me. You know, people come up to me all the time. Pastor, devil's been after me. And they're all they say it with such trembling in their voice. It's almost like they're honoring that of how strong he is. Pastor, the devil's really been after me. What's your point?
That's right. Come on.
Because the Bible says he's under your feet and he's defeated and you have authority over him. So why are you magnifying him? But my point is nobody knows. People, Christians don't know. They walk around just, oh, this is just it. You know, my lot in life. No, no, no. Your lot in life as a Christian is to be a world and natural circumstance dominator. Because the Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The Bible says this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. We've been given authority over serpents and scorpions. We should tread over all the power of the enemy. That's what the Bible says. But you know, I just leave it up to the pastor, and I don't know, I don't dare say anything, and I don't have anything. No, you need to become unignorant. First John 2 and verse 20. First John chapter 2 and verse 20. Hallelujah. But you, everybody say me. Have an unction. Now you look up that word unction in the Greek, it means anointing. You have an anointing from the Holy One. Everybody say this, say, I am anointed. Now add something on the end of that, say, I am anointed of God. Amen. You are. Well, I know my pastor's anointed. I've heard things preached over him. I've seen him in action. No. You're anointed. You're anointed to carry this power outside of these walls. Signs should follow you, not just me. God doesn't want just the people that happen to get inside here or the people that I happen to bump into to receive. No. If he knows, think about this logically now. If he knows that miracles, signs, and wonders are the dinner bell of salvation, are the validation or the proof of salvation. He also knows that it's not just, there's many people that are not born again in your walk of life that I will never come in contact with. So he can't just leave it up to the pastor. He can't just leave it up to the traveling minister. In fact, you as a whole will come in contact with more people than I will individually. So that's why he said these signs will follow them. You're anointed. When we talk about miracles, signs, and wonders, we are equipped to take that out and to walk in that and to flow in that. So I don't know, Pastor, I don't know. Well, wait till I show you something here in a second. But first, go to Ephesians chapter 1. Maybe for the TV minister, maybe for you, but I'm just a sheep. No, you are a sheep, but you're a devil casting out. Putting a devil on the run type of sheep, miracle working sheep, praise God. Ephesians chapter 1, it says in verse 16, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him. He says, I'm praying that your eyes would be open so that you'd know some things. Why? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Yeah. Amen. Amen. He said, verse 18, the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, that you would know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of glory of his inheritance in the saints. Now look at this in verse 19. He said, I'm praying that your eyes would be open. And I'm saying this tonight. I pray that your eyes would be open, that you would know, verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power. Amen. Now, would you all agree that God has some power? That there's some greatness in his power. Well, look what it says. He says, I want you to know the exceeding greatness of his power towards you. Amen. Praise God. My mic must be off because you didn't hear that good enough. I said, he wants you to know how great his power. You know that power that raised Jesus from the dead? You know that power that split the Red Sea? You know that power that raised people from the dead? That's the power of God. And it says his power. See, you can't separate him from his power. And when we look at his power, we know it's powerful. Right? So when he says his power, he's talking about the power that we all know of. But that power to usward. That power is directed to you, glory to God. Notice this, who believe? Who believe it? Who believe it? Who believe it? Yeah. Now go with me to Acts chapter 6 and verse 1. I want to show you something tonight. I have had such a passion for signs, wonders, and miracles for years, and now we're coming into these things, and we're seeing some things. Things are happening. Acts chapter 6 and verse 1. Why should we want signs, wonders, and miracles? Because we don't want anybody to go to hell. And there's nothing that gets people born again at a greater rate than signs, wonders, and miracles. There's nothing that shows people that God is real more than signs, wonders, and miracles. It was the very thing that validated Jesus. It validated Peter. It validated Paul. Amen. It's the very thing that's going to validate you when you're talking to your family and friends. When you're laying hands on their kids when they're sick and the fever goes away and the doctor's report changes and the hurting come to you and you're speaking words of encouragement and the gifts of the Spirit are flowing, yeah, it'll validate you too. And the people that used to look at you crazy are now going to look at you like, my God, they got something. You see, God didn't expect, remember Mark chapter 16, where he said, and the Lord working with them, confirming his word with signs following. What does that mean? That the word needs to be confirmed. Amen. That the word is so powerful and wonderful, but until it's confirmed in somebody's heart, it doesn't do anything for them. That's right. What am I talking about? Well, this book sits like this on a Walmart shelf, and people that are not born again walk by it every day. They have a ticket punched to go to hell. They do. Every day, the unborn again walk by it. Yet the word said, if they'll receive Jesus, they're saved. But until that word was confirmed in their heart, it doesn't do anything for them. And he said, I'll confirm my word with signs following. Why would he let, why if he needed to validate his son through signs, wonders, and miracles, if he needed to validate the disciples through signs, wonders, and miracles, and the people back then were just as much going to the same hell as the people are now, he wanted the people back then to not go to hell just as much as he wants the people now not to go to hell. If he used signs, wonders, and miracles back then to validate his message that would open the door for people to get saved through Jesus, through Peter, why would he give you any less to work with?
Amen.
If the Bible's clear that it's the signs, wonders, and miracles that caused him to follow Jesus, caused him to get saved, why would he give you anything less to work with? The people that are alive today, he wants them born again just as much as the people back then.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But we have a body of Christ who think they're nobodies and know nothings and just miracles passed away. And if there is miracles, it's just for the select few that God chooses. No, no. You have an anointing. You have power working towards you. You are supposed to have signs following your name. Or his name, when you speak in his name. Acts chapter 6 and verse 1. And in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reasonable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. So they're saying, the ministers are saying, it's not right that we leave and serve in the ministry of helps because it's pulling us away from what we need to do. He's not belittling helps. He's just saying, we have a job. There's another job for other people. He says, wherefore, brethren, look out among you, seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, who may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen. Now remember, the ministers are choosing from the congregation people to serve tables.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
And the saying pleased the whole multitude. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. People are naming their kids that every day. I mean, those names are just hot off the presses. Every single day, you know, lots of Nicanors being named, and see it all the time in the birth section, some Parmeniuses, and anyways, wow. Verse 6, whom they set before the apostles when they had prayed and laid hands on them. Now let me ask you a question. Were these people that they picked to serve tables, were they ministers or were they sheep?
Sheep.
They were sheep. The minister said, we're not going to leave the word of God, the ministry of the word. To do this, we need people in the helps ministry.
Yeah.
Okay, so he's picking people in the helps ministry. Verse 7, and the word of God increased. Notice that when people do their part, the word increases. Praise God.
Amen.
And the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Now here we go, verse 8. Remember, one of the people that was picked was Stephen. Was Stephen a mighty minister of God, or was Stephen a sheep?
Sheep?
He was a sheep. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people.
Amen.
A normal sheep. When I say normal, I'm saying they wasn't a minister. Wasn't someone that was traveling minister. Wasn't someone that had a TV ministry, an internet ministry, or a church. No. Someone who they looked out in the congregation to just someone in the ministry of helps, which is every single person in here besides me tonight.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Was used in miracles, signs, and wonders. Amen. You have an unction. These signs shall follow the believers, not the preachers. They that believe his name. Signs should follow you. Congregation members. Sheep. Glory to God. Shall follow them that believe. You have an unction. You have power working towards you. The greater one's on the inside of you. You're the hands and feet of Jesus. You're the body of Christ. Praise God. You're the hands and feet. Now, I am severely out of time to go with the fullness of what I want to share. So I just want to point one thing out because we'll probably have to pick it up, not next week. We'll have to do some review because we're taking next Wednesday off for Thanksgiving there. But when we come back, we're going to pick the rest of this up. But I want to look at here real quick. One characteristic, and then we'll look at more when we come back. But at least tonight, I want you to get it sold out in your heart. Wait a second. When Pastor talks about miracles, signs, and wonders, he's not just talking about himself. Them coming through himself. In fact, we'll have a greater influence if you'll all grab a hold of this and go outside these walls and become Stephens. It's just true. Amen. That's why I tell you, if you think I think it's a one-man show, you're wrong. I know it's not. It doesn't matter how bad I want it. Doesn't matter if I have an anointing or if I am anointed. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter how bad God wants it. The people need to be on board. But we see here from a man who was just a congregation member, not a minister, did great wonders and miracles among the people. What's among the people? Outside the church walls. Now, this will give you a couple weeks to get this settled in your spirit. Because remember what we said was that one of the characteristics of the early church is why we don't see miracles and signs and wonders. We've been given the template of how to do it. It says many places in Book of Acts that they were all, everybody say all. That doesn't mean they had one rogue one. They were all with one heart, one mind, and one accord. They were all on the same page. Remember the orchestra illustration? The Buffalo Philharmonic Orchestra, very talented, you know. They could be playing a number from Mozart, doing their thing, you know, and playing. It sounds really good. And one person in an orchestra of 100 people, one can play something different, and it'll throw the whole thing up. 99 can do the same thing, and one can be off, and it'll mess the whole thing up. If we want the power that they had, we're going to have to be like they were. Why is it that God can flow with one heart, one mind, and one accord? It's because unity brings power. Amen. One can put 1,000 to flight, the Bible says. Two can put 10,000 to flight. Amen. Amen. When two or three are gathered together, when two or three, as touching anything that they ask, agreement, it shall be done. How can two walk together? A kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. There's power in unity. Why do you think God had to confound their language over there in Babel? Remember what the Lord said? There'd be nothing that they can't accomplish. They were all speaking and going the same direction. The Lord said, we got to change this up. Because they're going to use this for wrong. Because when they're together and they're marching on the same step, man, they can get things accomplished. Why did the early church have it? Because they were all together. They were all believing this. So when I talk about the characteristics of Stephen, what was it about Stephen that God was able to use outside the walls of the church in miracles, signs, and wonders? Wouldn't you like to know? Because why? Because don't you want to be a Stephen? Well, Stephen had some characteristics because who does the miracles? We don't do the miracles. But God flows through the vessel of a human being to do the miracles. But God's not going to just choose any vessels to make any vessel a billboard for Him. Certain things are conductors of His power. Stephen was a conductor of God's power. And the Bible tells us all about him. So we're going to look over this week and the next time we meet characteristics of Stephen. But the one thing I do want to point out, because here's what I was saying about the unity thing. Where we need to get on board, we see with Stephen here, the disciples had a need to wait on tables. They looked out among them and found people. We don't see them arguing. You know what we see, ladies and gentlemen? I'm going to stand up here so you really get the point here. Because sometimes I have to check myself after I say this because I know why I say it. I say it because I get fear in me, and that's why I say it, and I just need to be bold. We don't see Stephen saying, well, Pastor, I'll pray about whether or not that you need me to do that or not. If your pastor or the church needs you to do it, you don't need to pray. You are called to serve in your church. You don't have to pray about whether or not, does God want me to clean? If you're an able body and you know how to clean and there's a need for it, you're supposed to clean. If you're an able body and you've been called to do nursery, you can do it. You don't need to pray about it. Oh, let me pray and see. That's garbage. The first thing we find out about Stephen is he was willing. He was willing. He was willing. Unwillingness will stop the power. What's one heart, one mind, one accord walking through these doors? Pastor, whatever this place needs. And we're not talking about drink the Kool-Aid weird type of stuff. We're talking about serving in nursery, you know, being an usher, doing the parking lot, cleaning up after service, doing things like that, you know, putting envelopes in the seats at the end of service, things like that. Hallelujah. Stephen was willing. Oh, I gotta pray and see if I'm supposed to serve tables. I know you're saying we need it, and I know I'm an able body, but I don't know. I just got to get the unction. This is wrong. Greatest among you is a servant. I say it all the time. What are you unwilling to do for God? You know, we have need for more ushers in this church. I say it all the time. People don't do anything about it. We have need for more people in nursery. Say it all the time. People don't do anything about it. We have, you know, some people do at times. We have need for people to clean. I don't know how many times I've announced that. Time nobody comes up and does anything. That's wrong. That's just wrong. It's just the truth. It's wrong. You say, well, I don't want to do it. Well, that's the problem. Jesus didn't want to go to the cross either, but he did. I don't want to do this for a living, but I am. I think about Dr. Dufresne, you know. Dr. Dufresne, Pastor Nancy's husband, went home to be with Jesus. In his ministry, signs, wonders, and miracles flowed mightily before he became internationally known. But you know what Dr. Dufresne did when he got born again? He was so grateful that God saved him from hell. His first night, he went to a church. Said he brought his big, huge Catholic Bible with him. Because that's where he came out, as a Catholic church. You know, brought his big, huge Catholic Bible. He said he went right to the pastor and said, Pastor, what can I do? Let me clean toilets. Let me do something. Amen. I want to give back to God. And we have people just trying to skirt also. Oh, I don't want to do nursery. I don't want to be an usher. That's inconvenient. I don't want to have to stay after and clean. I don't want to get here early and do sound. I don't want to. You're unwilling and you're disqualified. Right. Say, oh, that's harsh. No. Go to Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 19. So why are you getting so hard? Because I want to see miracles, signs, and wonders. You say, well, what? Does it have to do anything? You know why? Because God at times is going to tap you on your shoulder, tell you to go somewhere to talk to someone that's going to really inconvenience you. And if you don't have a willing heart, you'll shut it off. The one thing about Jesus was he was willing to be inconvenienced. Here he was on his way to raise a little girl or to lay hands on a little girl that was sick, and a woman with the issue of blood came and interrupted him. He was willing to be interrupted. Amen. Jesus, will you come to my house? You betcha. Let's go. Yeah. Oh, no, you know, I'm busy today. Oh, my TV show's on. Or, you know, I don't want to have to get up early, and I don't want to have to deal with other people's kids, and I don't want to have to clean up. I'm not the one that eats that stuff anyways. I don't want to come clean the church. Stand before your Savior someday with the scars in his head and the prints in his hands and his feet and then the scars, and you tell him, I didn't feel like doing something for your house. You see, the problem is that we have made it almost that's like you're doing the church a favor when you serve. No. It is such an honor to get to do anything for this place. And we have devalued the house of God to think, oh, I'm doing a favor. I'm signed up for nursery. I clean once every 5 weeks. Don't ask me to do anything else. Well, what are you doing all the other times, all the other weeks in church? Come on. It's the truth. We've devalued the house of God. We ought to be so grateful that we get to do anything around here and that God would trust us to clean the toilets. What an honor. What an honor to do stand out in the parking lot or clean up or for, you know, praise God. Isaiah 1 and verse 19. If you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. What's the first thing? Willing. I think about Dr. Dufresne going to his pastor. Pastor, what can I do? What can I do? I'll clean toilets. I'll do whatever. That's a heart. That's a heart and a vessel that God can flow through. God knows, hey, I can inconvenience him any time I want to. I'll tell the story that I told before, and it's so powerful. Sister Amy Simple McPherson, you know, had miracle signs and wonders flowing in her back in, I believe it was the 70s and the 80s. I'm not 100% sure, but that's time frame, I believe, is when she was big on the scene, you know. And I told this story, but there was a minister that went to one of her meetings, and she's the one that built Angel's Temple over there in L.A., and had just mighty miracle signs and wonders flowing in her ministry. And she was in a service preaching one time, and there were some ministers sitting in the front couple rows, and one of the ministers that was there was sitting next to a gentleman, another minister, he didn't know who he was, and the Spirit of God told him and said, told the one minister, said, the guy next to you is about to die because of so-and-so, he needs to make an adjustment or he's going to die, tell him he's going to die. And the minister thought, I'm not telling him that. And the service went on. The Spirit of God told him again. There's a guy sitting next to you. The guy sitting right next to you. He's about to die. If he doesn't make changes, you need to tell him that I told you that he's going to die. I'm not going to tell him that. I mean, that's heavy stuff to tell somebody, right? Yeah. So I'm not going to tell him. He knew he heard from God, but he flat out said no. Well, during the service, one thing you know about Sister Amy is she wore clothes that were big and flowy. She was very flamboyant and very just big, you know, just in life, just you know, just carried a, I don't even know the right word for it, but she just, wow, you know, just very flamboyant. The way she'd move around, the way she'd talk, the way her clothes flowed, and it didn't look like the norm. But yet the miracle signs and wonders through her were amazing, and she loved God. Well, this minister's sitting on the front row, the one that was told to tell the guy, and he's looking at Sister Amy. And he's kind of getting critical of her and thinking, my God, she's a weirdo. Look how she dresses. Look how she talks. Look how she flows around and the way she would say things. And he'd say, and he said this, he said, Lord, why in the world? Because he knew the miracle signs and wonders were real. That's why he was there. He said, why in the world are you using her? Well, the service went on. And Sister Amy stops the service. Goes up to the guy. Not the guy that was told about the guy that was going to die. But goes to the guy that was going to die. And says, the Lord told me that you're about to pass away and you're about to die. And this is going on in your life. And you better make these adjustments or you will die. Told the guy, told that man that, saved the man's life. And the Spirit of God spoke up to the minister that God tried to get to tell him and said, that's why I use her. Amen. She will do and say whatever I tell her. Here he's sitting, I'm not doing that, I'm not doing that. Well, it's the same thing. You won't serve in nursery. You won't be an usher. You won't come and clean the church. You won't do things. You say, what's the big deal? The big deal is God's going to tell you something outside of these walls that could translate to someone's salvation that might inconvenience you, that might make you uncomfortable, that might make your mind and your flesh go, woo. Yeah. But if you're not willing, the first thing I see about Stephen, who had miracle signs and wonders, he was willing to do whatever. Amen. Here was the guy who had miracle signs and wonders working in his life, and he was a server of tables. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I remember, we'll close with this, and I don't have time to go on to these other topics, but my point is I can tell you this now, because now, before we get back to Stephen in a couple weeks, you have time to get willing.
Amen.
You have time to get willing. Amen. You have time to say, Lord, you know, I could do that. I could sacrifice and do that for the church. I could do that for you, Lord, but I just have, this has been inconvenience to me, and I just haven't wanted to. Not good excuses, people. The cross was very inconvenient for Jesus.
Yeah.
And the cross was not a place he wanted to go. But he was willing, and it led to so much blessing and help. Amen. Now, don't get me wrong. We appreciate and are so grateful for people that serve. When I say you're not doing the church a favor, we need to have the mentality that it's more of a blessing to serve than it is how you're blessing the church. But we're grateful and thankful for people that will serve. But man, let's be honest, sometimes our hearts are wrong and off, and we pick and choose what we want to do. And I need to stop saying, you know, if you feel led. No, your leading is the word that tells you you ought to serve. That's your leading.
Amen.
Amen. Because we have biblical precedence that comfort level doesn't matter. It doesn't. It doesn't matter. I'm going to use an example. Now, I don't mean to step on people's toes. They've said this to me, but I'm going to say it. People say to me, I don't want to do worship team. Now, listen, we don't want to put anybody up there that squawks. So if you stink at singing, don't worry. We ain't going to ask you.
Come on.
I'm just saying. And they say, well, I'm not comfortable to do that. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. You know what? It's one thing I don't want to do. The point is, the problem is that you're not willing to do it. What if God tapped you on the shoulder and asked you to do it? You know what? He did that for me. See, I know, and now, again, I'm not looking for false praise. I know I don't have an accomplished voice. I'm not a great guitar player. But you know, I do it for Jesus.
Amen.
I do it for Jesus. I'm willing to do it for Jesus. And I get up there and sing out with all my heart. Worship Him with all my heart.
Amen.
Amen. It's the truth.
Amen.
I don't want to preach sermons. The first time I ever preached a sermon, I was throwing up in my mouth like crazy. Nervous and sweating. I know that's gross, right? Lots of mints that day. I didn't want to do it, but I was willing to do it. I got born again. I was so thankful Jesus saved me. I told my pastor, I said, Pastor, whatever the church needs, I'll cut the grass on my hands and knees with scissors if you want me to. And I meant it.
Yeah.
Well, he put me to the test. Fresh out of Bible school, I'm learning to preach, thinking I'm full of fire, ready to preach. He says, go stand out in the parking lot with an orange vest in direct traffic.
Amen.
Let me pray about that, sir. He'd have laughed right at me, say, you're disqualified.
Right.
You're not qualified for advancement and promotion. Shepherd said he had need of something. Okay, I don't need to pray about whether I should stand in the parking lot.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
You know what? When people say that, I got to pray about it. What they're saying is, get off my back, Pastor.
Yeah.
I just want to, I'll get back to you on that. No, you won't.
Right.
Okay, well, you're done in the parking lot, Pastor Mike. Oh, okay, it's my time to preach. No, it's not. Go behind a computer and put the scriptures up and put this music up. I got to pray about that. No, sir, yes, sir.
Right. Yeah.
Willing to do whatever. Amen. Willing and obedient.
Yes. Praise God.
Pastor, we want you to lead worship. But I hate playing guitar. I hate singing. I'm telling you the truth. I hate it. Naturally. I don't ever play that at home. I have one at home. It sits there and just sits there and looks good. I don't play it. I don't enjoy guitar. I don't enjoy singing. I like listening to music and worshiping God. But I don't enjoy doing it. I hate it. And when I was asked to do it, I dreaded it. My flesh hated it. You think you don't want to go into nursery. You think you don't want to usher every once in a while.
Come on.
You don't understand what it was like for me to be asked to do that and know there was a need and know that I could fulfill that need during that time.
Amen.
Okay,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Praise God.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah.
Amen.
Pastor, you're called the pastor and you're going to preach a sermon. Oh my gosh, I'm just, oh. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do it. That's what the Lord said. Be willing and obedient. Let me just tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. I eat the good of the land.
Amen.
I eat the good of the land. But as far as I know, and I'm telling you the truth, Jesus is my witness. I don't know of anything. Now, Lord, if there is, you can bring up in prayer later and correct me. I don't know of anything in the world that God could tell me to do that I'd say no to Him. There's nothing that I would do. Nothing. As far as I know. Now, maybe I'll point some things out and it would test me, but I'm just saying I am sold out to Him.
Amen.
And I eat the good of the land.
Amen.
I'm willing, praise God.
Hallelujah.
So we want to be people that can carry miracle signs and wonders around. Well, we got to have the characteristics of somebody that was used in it. And the first thing I see is willing. So maybe, just maybe, these next couple of weeks, we need to maybe consecrate to some nursery. Maybe consecrate to some ushering. Maybe consecrate to coming and cleaning the church once every 5-6 weeks. Maybe we need some consecration time. Some good old-fashioned time on the altar with the things that we've been unwilling to help this place out with. Because again, you're not wanting to and you're uncomfortable. Those don't count anymore. It didn't count with Jesus. What if you'd have said, Jesus, I get it. You don't want to go to the cross. Don't then. Oh, you're going to hell then. That's the truth. You die and go to hell.
Right.
Oh, Jesus, I know you don't want to do that. Just don't if you don't want to. Do whatever you're comfortable with, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen?
Amen.
Father, we love you tonight. Lord, I'm just trying to get people in shape here. We said this was going to be like the gym tonight, working some things out of us. Didn't even plan to say all that, but Lord, there was unction on it, so we did say it. This is boot camp for us. Hallelujah. We're trying to get in a position where we're vessels to be used of God. Jesus was sold out. Peter was sold out. Paul was sold out to the plan. And Lord, how are we going to maybe drive 2 hours to someplace or write a check for $1,000 for somebody that needs it that would lead to a miracle? If we're not even willing to serve in our church that feeds us so good and helps us. No wonder Stephen was able to be used. And Lord, even when we go on forward and look at all these other things, it's just so apparent why he was used in signs, wonders, and miracles. So Father, help us tonight. Lord, we're not trying to be mad at anybody or judge anybody or condemn anybody. We're trying to get a bunch of willing and obedient hearts around here so that people can be used by you. You are so willing to be inconvenience for people. You are so willing to do whatever it took, and there's such great power. And Father, I think about the apostles and how greatly they were willing to be inconvenienced. I think about people like Brother Hagin and Dr. Dufresne and Lester Summerall and Smith Wigglesworth, these mighty men and women of God that were willing to do things that were uncomfortable and were willing to do things that they didn't want to do for the kingdom, and great advancements were made. Father, that's the kind of heart we need to be running through this whole place. Not just in pockets, not just in the pastors, but in every single hearer in this place. So Father, we repent if we need to repent. We get willing if we need to get willing. We get obedient if we need to get obedient. We worship you tonight, Father. Let's praise him and thank him. Hallelujah. If there's anybody that needs healing in their body, said that unction, come forward right now. We'll lay hands on you. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You said that we lay hands on the sick, they'll recover, so we believe you tonight. We trust in that word tonight. Hallelujah. We thank you. Praise God. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. Keep the switch of faith turned on. What you need, bud? Got a sore throat?
Yeah.
Grab my hands, buddy. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we command all symptoms to leave his body now. Sore throat, you are not allowed to stay. We speak to you and command you to go in the name of Jesus. Thank you for it. What's up, brother? Do you believe he can do it? Do you believe he wants to do it?
Yes, I do.
Amen. In the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you right now. We command that to be made straight and to be made whole. We command all that's off to be made straight, the crooked to be made straight. We command the pain to leave his body. We speak that in the mighty, in the matchless name of Jesus. Be free from that in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Be free from that. Michaela, what's up?
Right under my kneecap, it really hurts, so it really hurts to walk.
Do you believe God can do it?
Yes.
Do you believe he wants to do it?
Yes.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the power of God. Oh, we thank you for the power of God hitting her body right now. From the top of her head to the bottom of her feet, we thank you that pain has to go. We command that pain to go in Jesus' name. Be free from it from head to toe. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. We worship you. Signs following. We praise you. Is there anybody else that needs hands laid on before we close the service tonight? Father, we love you and praise you and we thank you. We believe, Lord. We're going to take this out of here into a hurting world. And we're going to see things. We're going to see things happen in Jesus' name. We praise you, Lord. with heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around, if there's anyone under the sound of my voice, you've never made Jesus the Lord your Savior. I can't see everybody listening by live stream or in the future. Thank you. Anybody in here want to receive Jesus with heads bowed and eyes closed? You say, I've never received the Lord and I want to go to heaven. Would you just close your eyes and lift your hand if there's anyone that's never done that before? Anybody at all? Father, I don't see any hands in here, but if by chance, and I figured everyone was born again in here, but if by chance there's someone listening by live stream right now or in the future on our archives, they've never made Jesus the Lord of their life, I pray they would not pass from this life till they make Jesus their Savior. Father, I thank you. You've made it simple. All they must do is call on your name. All they have to do is call on your name and they'll be saved. So, Father, we thank you for it. We praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for coming out. We'll see you Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. You're dismissed. 'Cause I can see